Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Hallelujah. This morning, I've got not too much time, but I want to take up on what I will call a series, because I'm not going to finish today. Therefore, I'll try to finish as promptly as I can in this hour of church this morning. As you all know, we have now outlets via social media, and we want to welcome every listener from close and far who are listening to our broadcast, if you will, and thank them for joining us. And we trust that if they don't know Jesus, that somehow this ministry would allow them and compel them to reach out to Him and call Him Lord. Amen. We're getting great reports from listeners around, I could easily say even the world, that they're listening to our podcast and our sermons and our events here at Rock of Ages. So we welcome them all the way from Facebook to Instagram, chat, and Spotify, and all these other places that our social media guys have been able to implement us in. Pretty soon we're going to go live stream, we trust, and therefore lead many more to Christ. But with that same thought, bringing many more to Christ, I'm happy to say that for the past few months, as you've seen, people have been coming to Christ at this altar. And when you let the dust settle and look at the whole purpose of the church, you will find, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the great articles of the church, and I want to imprint that word article in your heart, one of the great articles of the church, the responsibilities, the call of the church, is to bring others to Christ, to reach out to the lost. Sadly enough, and obviously you know that God has given us a word concerning this particular topic, because I believe He's concerned about us losing grips with that article that He has placed in the house of God. So therefore, for the next couple of weeks, if God permits, I will be speaking to you on the topic or theme for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And I'll give you the passage of reference as we go. But I want, first of all, our PC guys back there to put on the big screen the scripture of in Ezra chapter 6 verse 5, if you will. And I simply want to give you this passage because I want to make this an introduction, if I can, to better connect you with the subject that we are going to be covering so diligently. Ezra chapter 6 verse 5, if you would, guys. Let me just paraphrase as you read, if you'd like. Every time the people of Judah, every time the temple where God had built to allow His presence to abide, there were specific articles that God placed in the house. Just for example, not to name them all or to give you all their significance in that house, but you had The Aaron's rod, you had the Ark of the Covenant, you had the golden candelabras, you had the incensers, you had all these articles that God had placed, and let's just call them decorations, as we do in this church this morning. There are certain things that we have as, I guess, a certain decor. And hopefully everything we try to do kind of leads us to understand why we're here and what we're doing and what that particular emblem represents. And so the Lord had it and had His people design and the gold makers to work and do all these things and to implement certain furnishings in the house of God. Again, which pointed the people when they walked in, they knew what that whole place signified, what was really significant about that place. Well, we don't have golden candelabras anymore, and we don't have, obviously, the Ark of the Covenant, nor Aaron's rod, nor the Book of the Law in that sense. But if I can apply that same thought, if you will, and let me just say before I move on that when the Babylonians would come or some kind of marauding force would come to fight with the city and somehow would again take them captive, the first thing they would do is that they would go to the house of God and they take all the articles and take them hostage themselves. They would take them out of the house. They would strip the house of God of these things. Therefore, you basically walked in. If they didn't burn and destroy the building, you'd have nothing but an open venue with nothing, no significance at all. They walked in. You could almost do anything in that building because there was nothing referencing what they did in this place before. Now, the Babylonians have always represented the Antichrist, the enemies of God. Always wanting to take God's people captive. Always trying to discredit and just absolutely erase the mind and the commitment and allegiance that these people gave to the Lord of all creations. So anytime there was a battle, and let it be because even the city fell into some kind of disobedience or whatever, and the Lord would allow such a thing to happen, they would first come and add insult to injury, not only by taking the people captive, but they would go into their most special and treasured place, the church, and they would take the articles that God implemented himself, and they would go throw them somewhere in some box so that people couldn't identify with that anymore. Well, if I can bring that up to speed today, like I said, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant made out of teak wood anymore. We don't have Aaron's budding rod. We don't have the book of the law. We don't have the incensers and the golden candelabras. But there are still articles in the church that God has implemented that all these things really signify today and are supposed to be in the house today that will give clear significance to the house in which we are in today. People should be able to walk into this sanctuary and know what goes on in here. Who is the CEO of this place? Who is it that is worshipped in this place? What is the purpose? What is the direction? What kind of commitment is required in this place to serve the God of this place? Are you following me this morning? But you'll agree with me as well as I continue that over the years, these articles, let's just say the golden operas, they were the light. They were what brought light into the house. You see, when people walk into the house of God, they should be able to identify the light of Christ in this house. The Ark of the Covenant, it's not a piece of furniture here, but it signified the presence of God so that when people on the outside walk in, they are now today not looking for that specific piece of furniture made out of a particular specific kind of wood, but they are looking for the essence of God's presence in the house of God. And so all these things that God has placed back then, now today, are now, by the simple law of double reference, meaning something else today here at Rock of Ages. But again, all together, so married together, that these things today that God has left for us to keep in the house are still to affect the lives of others outside the church the same. One of the articles that the Lord has implemented in his house is the article of witnessing and reaching out to the lost. We have Aaron's rod budding, showing that that bud that grew on that rod meant it was a life and birth giver. A rod being that rod that the shepherd used to lead others. The fact that it was alive and fruitful meant that that rod was able to conjure up life. It was able to cultivate life wherever it led. And I want to identify that specifically if I can. Oh, there are many applications to it. I wanted to signify to us the importance of the article of reaching the lost. Somehow along the way, though the Babylonians do not exist in our presence, there are still antichrists in our presence. Though we may not have an Assyrian king trying to destroy the church, we do have certain legal arguments going on around us. But more importantly than that, what was the very platform on which all these people, these anti-gods, if you will, stood on, was the very foundation of the devil himself. Because the true problem is not the building or that piece and that article, but it's what all of this represents and what it causes a man's heart to do, and that is surrender to God. That's the devil's problem. This is why the scripture tells us it's not against flesh and blood which we wrestle with. We don't wrestle against each other. It's a sad day when we are fighting with each other, thinking that you're the devil and I'm the one, and this and the other, and God says, neither of you are, though you're acting like them. But the foundation on which all evil stands is the very foundation and platform of hell itself, the devil. And so I can say that over the years, the devil has in some way conditioned the church to ignore some of these very important articles in the house of God and begin to steal them out of the house of God, that now when people come into the house of God, they no longer find the presence of the Lord. They no longer see the light of Christ. They don't see the article of prayer. They don't see the article of worship. They don't see the article of God's unadulterated word from the pulpit. Very subtly, the little foxes the Bible speaks to us about, that they can destroy much, much, much of the harvest just by biting at the ankles of the church. And so we sit here, and now today people go to church because the band is awesome. Now they go because they have a personal relationship with the pastor and he's really cool. Now because my friend teaches Sunday school, and once they get out, we always go here and there, and I can't wait to go to dinner or lunch or whatever. We do it for different reasons. And all of that, really, when you stand back and you see what it truly is, the premise of all of this, what really is that is instigating all of this, it's the devil stealing the very important articles in the house of God. When was the last time you heard somebody say, oh, we went there and the presence of God just slayed us at the entrance, the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord gave us a word, God began to move, we saw healing take place. Instead of saying, man, you should go. That church is awesome, man. Guitar player wails, man. Drummer's awesome. Oh, the people are real cool, man. And they miss the whole picture. And they paint their own abstract picture of the church and identify it as whatever it is that is appealing to them. It's a nice, cool place. I like it. It's nice and cool. The chairs are comfortable. I don't go over there because they have steel chairs. This and the other. And we come up with a million things other than the important things representing this house. And I say all of this to tell you that one of the articles that has been very craftedly, nastily, subtly, sneakingly, connivingly been gnawed away from the church is the art of reaching out to the lost. It's burdened me forever. It really has, and I'm sure it's burdened many of you, but I want it to burden all of us. And again, the whole objective of this series and message for the next couple of weeks, I invite you all to please come and bring others, is going to lead us to that place where we have nothing else but to consider and acknowledge our loosening of that article and take once again the article of reaching out as one of the most important articles in the house of God. The duty of knowing that we are a people not sent in, but we are a people who have been sent out. That there's a responsibility not only for us to equip you here in this house. It's not a place for you to pitch your tent, if you will, and stay here and just tend to your own needs and lick your own wounds and have a happy-go-lucky time, but to prepare as foot soldiers of Christ that understand that these articles that we are to have in the house of God, and that's all a sermon altogether different. I will teach and preach to you on the articles of the house of God soon. But this particular article of reaching out is calling for a proactive move on behalf of the church. It's calling us to re-examine our inward, to become, I guess, introspective, if you will, of our walks in God and say, what am I doing? I was tending to my wounds last week and the week before and the months before, and then we were tending to each other's wounds the weeks before and the years before. And while all this time we are all in good health and we're doing good, we have the masses of people dying without Christ outside of the walls of this church. I don't know about you, forgive my arrogance, but I feel Rock of Ages should be having three or four services on Sunday. You see, that's about how many of us really believe that. I said, I believe Rock of Ages should be having three or four services on Sunday morning from people wanting to come to meet God. But I'm wondering how many walk into the house of God and say, well, what is it exactly that they do here? What really goes on around here? Or I met them outside of the walls of this church and I would never think that they were a part of whatever goes on in here. But then we embrace the importance of reaching out and bring that statement that I will be reading the passage from where I take this thought from. For such a time as this, do you realize that your time and this moment in your life is not given to you simply randomly? That is, God didn't give you a breath of air this morning and opened your eyes to see the beauty of this world and your children around you just because, though those things are important. But He gave it to you with purpose. There's something in God's kingdom plan that we need to execute to make our day complete. Are you with me today? We've been having great services. Can you say amen? Amen. And while we have been blessed by God, I believe that God wants us to begin to bless others as well. Is it that important anymore, Pastor? Well, listen, let me tell you that one of the last words that Jesus spoke to His disciples was out of Matthew 28 and 18. He said, I've given all authority to you. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you have all authority. What does that mean? That you're lacking anything? What does that mean? That you're not strong enough? What does that mean? That you're not smart enough? What does that mean? That you haven't graduated from theological school? What does that mean? When God says, I've given you all authority. It means zip. No conversation. No debate. No argument. It's a matter of fact. God has given Rock of Ages all authority. We have the authority. Say it like you believe it. We have the authority. Say, I have the authority. You see, and that is contagious. Because now when you see the sick, you say, I have been given the authority to speak to that devil, and that devil has to flee in Jesus' name. We have the authority. But then He says something very specific concerning that authority. In that same verse in Scripture, Matthew 28 and 18 and on. He said, therefore, No, let them hear you. Say it again. Therefore, go. Didn't say, therefore, sit down. Therefore, let's start having church services and have fun. No, no, he said, therefore, go. And he said, just go around here and this and the other. He said, no, go throughout the nations. And just go out there representing who I am, but take time to make them believers, disciples. So here we have the foundation of who we are today. We have the purpose, one of the greatest, remarkable, most identifiable articles in the house that should exist is the desire and the allegiance that all of us should give in reaching out to the lost. Reaching out to those that need Christ. Telling them about Jesus. And not only that, but taking the time not to go and evangelize 60 people and leaving them there as newborn babies to suffer with the elements and the pools of sin in this world, but to take time and say, come here, let us disciple you. Let us show you that this is not a means to an end. This is the turning of a new chapter in your life. God wants you as part of His kingdom plan and to teach them. Some of you might be thinking, well, he's thinking the church is a little bit empty sometimes. No, I'm not even worried about that. I've got enough with my church already. What I'm thinking about is the lost souls. I'm thinking about those who have no Christ. And we'll learn things about them in just a second as we go. That we are privileged with, that they are not. The Lord never allows us to forget the unfortunate. And by this I mean the lost. It's easy to forget. To say we had a great time with God. And I wonder how many outside of this place today can say the same. We must remind ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. And as I said, I won't finish. I'll stop just because of time. This will be more an introduction and hopefully get your spiritual lips wet and hungry to want to learn and learn to just excite your courage and commitment into God to embrace this mandate of the Lord. It's not even a recommendation. It's a mandate. To be mindful of the lost. The Lord still rejoices in those that come to Him. And if it's our desire to make Him glad, then you know one of His greatest desires. And that is none be lost. Say it into your own spirit, God doesn't want anybody lost. After all, He's the one that tells us that He's willing to leave the 99 to go find that one. What if the Lord somehow walked into this place physically and said, by the way, you guys are having a great time. I'm out of here. Where are you going? Way on the other side of town, I have one that's lost. I got to find him. Hey, but stick around. We always have a great time. You're the life of the party. Yeah, but I'm not here for your party, man. When I have time, I'll come and celebrate with you. It's going to be great. We always have a great time, yes. But man, I can't rest. I've got someone over there sitting there without hope, without any clue of salvation, without all the benefits you have. Sit still. Have a good time. I got to go. I wonder how many of us would stay here and go like, well, he left. Well, let's all go home then. And if we did that, it was because we simply understand if Jesus is not here, then why are we here at all? But we must see the heart of God and what His desire is for the lost. If we are truly going to become Christ-like, then we have been given the mind of Christ. Then we must live as Christ, walk as Christ, think as Christ, and yearn for the things that He yearns for. Are you with me this morning? I hope this is digging already, breaking fallow ground. I hope it's already going through the files of your heart. I hope it's already bearing witness to those of you who have been praying already about soul winning. Rock of Ages is going through a big transition right now. We're going to be letting you in on other things that are happening, and it all has to do with reaching souls. The title again for such a time as this, and this is probably as far as I'm going to go this morning. But obviously, for many of you, you know that these words I've taken from are the words of Mordecai given to Queen Esther. If you read this short little testimony, you'll find that her life really is a mirror to our lives. It's a type of us, the life she lived. And there's a lot of her that we can see in us today. A lot of her responses, the way she felt, the benefits she has gained, and the things that she should have considered and did finally consider in order to fulfill the plan of God in her life. Take time to read this at home, the book of Esther. It's a wonderful testimony. But if I can this morning and you have time, I've got about 10 minutes to go. And we're going to pray. Let me give you simply a paraphrased picture of what you will find in this book concerning this woman. Pray with me quickly. Father, speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to my spirit. Speak to my inner man. Help me, Father, become more than just a listener, but you said, blessed are those who hear and obey. We want to give you the joy of your heart. Next to our worship, next to our faithfulness, next to us praying, next to all of these things, fellowshipping together at Rock of Ages, we want to give you souls. For it is for souls, beginning with mine, that you came for. Let us live life after you. Model it and help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, spirit, and eyes to follow you accordingly. Bless your word into my heart today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The book of Esther, just giving you a quick synopsis, tells us of how this orphaned young lady was brought into a family by adoption. Homeless at the beginning. From that moment of poverty, if you will, and a person without inheritance, to by the end of this book find that she had been adopted and brought into the very kingdom and developed a very special relationship with the king himself. It also tells us in this book and expresses to us how that during this time of her life was a very detrimental, trying time for the people of God. For there was an enemy who wanted to destroy that generation of believers who had gone through all the logistical needs in the city to prepare for a massacre of all these people. At the hands of one man. And during the discourse and the course of all these things happening, we see things happen in the life of Esther that we will speak about more in detail. As she's being brought in and these people are getting ready to be shipped into the gallows to meet their eternal state, there's someone who is speaking life into this young lady and telling her of the benefits that she has reaped after all the bad start she had, and how she could benefit in saving the people from all this pain and loss of life. We see her own character flourish as she, at the beginning, seems hesitant, as many of us do when it comes to reaching out to the lost. Oh, Pastor, I don't really know that much about Bible. And, oh, pastor, you know, they won't listen to me. Oh, that's my mom. I mean, I can't tell her about Jesus. And we come up with so many excuses. So did Esther. Come out with so many reasons why she should not, and some very pointed in particular. But Mordecai challenges her, which is the man that is speaking to her, that she has to get to the point where she overcomes those snags in life, those hurdles in her life. She needs to overcome these things because there's much more at loss than just her shaking of character and person. And so he ministers to her in a very powerful way. And he reminds her in this specific thing, in that while she is Jewish and now saved and safely kept in the king's courts, all the other Jewish people weren't as blessed as she was. And more importantly so, she wasn't the only Jewish person in her family. But if the Jewish community suffered this loss, that was not only going to exclude her out of the picture, possibly because she was well protected, but it was going to envelop and funnel in everyone in her family. Even those of her house. And so these are very important things that she went through. Things that caused her heart to shake and rock. And ultimately, thanks to God. And because of that decision, if we go down generations, we'll find that we have a Savior by the name Jesus. But had there been disobedience, I'm sure the Lord would have raised a rock to declare the virtues of the king. But it was for Esther. God gave Esther the privilege. And ladies and gentlemen, before we begin to close this morning, I want you to feel privileged this morning that you're here in this house. And you're privileged by God to be listening to this message. And that tells me that God values who you are, your capabilities, your abilities, and your love for Him enough to challenge you, to move you out of your safe zone that we so easily and so wonderfully and quickly are quick to take and just huddle ourselves into that place. But to actually shake your house and your heart and cause you to wake up to the reality of the need of you in the kingdom of God. This is no first thing for God to do amongst His people. You may remember in the book of Acts, everybody was hanging around with Jesus. Believers were around that holy city. And when Jesus was crucified and taken on off to be at the right hand of the Father, they saw Him ascend. And the thoughts of the people were saying, well, we're all here in the holy city. So let's establish this one church. And here will we tend to our need as we wait for our risen Savior. But just like in that Mount of Transfiguration, right there when Peter said, Lord, why don't we just all build a couple of huts for us here and we'll just stay right here. And the Lord said, no. We're not called to stay up here. We're called to work down there. And so the Lord for the church in Jerusalem that day in the book of Acts, you'll find that the Lord had to rock their house. And what happened? There was a servant by the name of Philip who was an evangelist in doing the work. And then made everybody else comfortable. He'll just bring people here and we're all going to have a happy-go-lucky time. But no, that's not what God did. The Lord collected one of His faithful servants in the presence of these men. And since they were already afraid of the Roman government and the ending, physical ending of Christ before them, it shook him to the core. God never does anything without purpose. God didn't wake up this morning saying, go to church and I'll just see what I give pastor to give you. Now, this is a predestined appointment. And so God on that day wakes up knowing what he's going to do. And we know the martyring of this great man of God. And what that did, it shook the people in Jerusalem. He said, well, this is not a safe place, man. And so they scattered, the Bible says. But here is the key where God reveals his sovereign power and authority over all things. He said, when they scattered, they preached Christ everywhere they went. Amen? That's God's purpose. At whatever measure. And ladies and gentlemen, God has granted us a privilege today by being in such a beautiful venue. And I believe that God is calling Rock of Ages, now that it has you, to begin to fight the good fight of faith. And to begin to call out to the king of Babylon to bring the articles of God back into the house of God. I want prayer to work in the house of God again. I want the presence of God to be the only presence that is felt in this place. I want the light of Christ to be revealed in the glow of people's faces in this place. I want you to come and listen to the band, but listen to the God they are singing to. To listen to the man that is preaching to you, but know that what he is preaching is God's voice to your heart. The law, the book of God. We've got to bring back the articles. And the one I'd like to begin with today, if you will, is the article of reaching out. I believe that it's next to prayer and all these things. This is one of the most neglected and forgotten articles in the house of God today. How many are with me this morning? How many are glad to be in the house of God today? Aren't you glad you're a member of Rock of Ages? I am. If you weren't here, I'd preach to myself, I'll tell you. I'd get saved every day. Because this is the truth of God. Open your Bible and read. Open your Bible and read, and you'll find this truth laid out for you. And so today, as I close, I will make this invitation to you. And the first one that I make is, how many of you will pick up arms today to begin to listen, learn, and allow God to shake your house for the reaching of others? If that's you, stand to your feet. I want to pray for the army of people that God is going to equip. If that's you. God doesn't want you to stand if you know you're going to go AWOL. God doesn't want you to stand if he knows that you're half-hearted about what you're doing. He knows if you're standing just because you want to be part of the standing crowd. And I don't want pastor to point me out as someone that did. No, don't worry about me. You can sit every service if you want. But I want to speak to those who are standing today. Say, you know, pastor, I realize that there are things in this house that we're supposed to obtain and have that bring significance and value to this house that we're in today. What has been taken from us, ladies and gentlemen? And all of this spirals down to so many important things in our lives. And I want you to know, and I want to guarantee you, because this is God speaking to us, that once you begin to attend to the things of God, I say this with a smile, because God will begin to attend to the things of you. The Bible says that he who refreshes one will himself be refreshed. God is the type of God that will never forget the labor of love. God is not the one who will ever forget that glass of water. You remember when that prisoner said, Christ himself, as that prisoner, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. I was cold, you gave me a cloak. And though we may sometimes not notice when and how, but all of a sudden we find ourselves in the middle of a spiritual conversation with someone at work. One of our family members And God takes control of that conversation. And by the time you know it, you've got somebody praying with you, accepting Christ. And the next thing you have is someone coming to church and occupying the pew next to you as you fellowship with them and begin to disciple them along with the church. You're going to rejoice in that, for there is no greater reward. Some of us have children outside, and we're safe inside. Fathers, mothers, uncles, friends, families, working peers, managers. And we're going, man, we had a great time this service. And you? Now, I was half drunk Saturday and Sunday. I was lost. I lost my wife. I was caught doing bad things. That's a perfect time for you to say, what you need is Jesus. And let Jesus speak from your heart. Don't let it be head knowledge. Head knowledge and intellect mean absolutely nothing. It's the heart knowledge. Sometimes it's hard to hold a straight face when you're witnessing, because you remember all of a sudden where he took you from. And you want that person to experience the same joy. So you are standing today to say, Jesus, I commit to bring back into this house the article of reaching out for such a time as this. You have appointed me. If that's you, lift your hand to heaven. We're going to commit to God. Father, I worship you this morning and I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, God, that today is a new day. New blessings. New mercies. And those are strategically placed for us. But Father, we know that in the wells of your heart, there are blessings and mercies you desire to give all men. For your desire is that none be lost. But here, Lord, is remnant seed of believers that you have left here at Rock of Ages. We commit to you as you see them hands lifted in your presence. You record their names. You hold them accountable. You give them the opportunity. Set up the table and help them so they could learn. And find themselves, Lord, every day, not a single day pass, with them not sharing the truth of who you are and how they need you in their lives. And by this, Lord, I'm not speaking prophetically about a full house at Rock of Ages, because it's never numbers that we search for. It's for saved souls. And so bring the souls to be saved. And we'll have 4, 5, 10. We'll have church all week if we have to, because of those coming in to meet and love you. And so today, I want everyone to simply repeat this. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I give you me. Use me for your kingdom's glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, as you're standing, I'd like to make this invitation before we dismiss. You're here this morning to witness what's happening in the house of God, and maybe you never committed to God, and you realize today that Jesus loves you. He wants you saved. He wants you to become part of God's kingdom army, believers and receivers of his kingdom. But you've never said yes to the Lord. We want to invite you today. If there's anybody here who's never said yes to Jesus, be Lord of my life. And though you've been here for weeks, or maybe this is your first time, and you would like to say yes to Christ, would you raise your hand up to heaven? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you over here. God bless you over here. Anybody else, raise your hand high. I don't want to miss you. These lights make it a little difficult for me to see, but I'm going to ask our ushers to please bring these people who have raised their hands to please come and pray with me up here just for a moment. This is not to embarrass you, but this is to bring you in and to let you know that we honor you for your decision. How awesome is it when you see young men giving their lives to Christ? If you would up here, please stand right here. Two big old boys. That's awesome. Your life will never be the same. There's a family of believers that today will begin to pray for you. And greater than that, there is a God today that will begin to stand for you. And even as you've lived your life and you have felt out of the will of God, still He has given you this day. Because He has plans for you. He has plans for your life. He's got blessing for you. He's got everything. And so today marks not the end of something, but I promise you the beginning of something extraordinary. I've been serving the Lord for the better part of 30 some odd years in my life. And if you knew a little bit about me, you may find I was a lot like you. But I'm saved today. And I've never felt I've made a better decision than saying, Lord, be Lord of my life. So we welcome you. Pray with me, if you would, this simple prayer. And simply say, Jesus, I understand today that you love me. I also know that it's seldom been my priority to live my life pleasing to you. So I've done things that positively have broken your heart. I come to you repented, changed of mind, and I say to you, Lord, please forgive me. For you are God and a holy God, most worthy of your praise. Jesus, if you will forgive me, please accept me as your son and daughter. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with the knowledge of your word. And show me how to walk accordingly. That everything I do from this moment forward, I do only to nourish our relationship. I want to be a great servant. I want to reach the lost. I want to be a great prayer warrior. I want to read your word. Be a testimony to those just like me in that world that there is a God who can take a sinner and make him a saint. Thank you, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. From this moment on, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Let me pray for you now in the church. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for your word. We thank you this morning for what you are about to do and have begun doing already. Thank you for these fine young people. Bless them. We embrace them as our own. We'll help them, disciple them, give them instruction, teach them whatever questions. We have people available here in this ministry. Father, we thank you for allowing them the privilege of this time to hear your word. For me, your vessel, to have the privilege of announcing such a priceless treasure in your word. And the saints here to witness the working power of salvation in this house. Bless our church. Bless this ministry. Help us, Father, become more like you every day. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. For every listener of this podcast, we speak blessing into their lives. Whatever their needs may be, provide for them. But most of all, allow them to walk, Father God, into the corridors of your salvation, that they might truly know what it is to live in the light of blessing. In the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.